course, looking back from where I am now, that art director bluffed me. We were up against the deadline. He could not very well go back to Herb Albert and say, this is what I want, and the art director, this is what the illustrator did, and he did not do what I want. I want a Mexican creeping in the corner. The deadline was right on him, even if Herb Albert agreed with the idea of putting a Mexican in the corner. The deadline precluded the possibility that I could take the thing, that he could start from scratch again. You know, now he might have hassled me on getting paid, but ultimately I would have gotten paid if I simply complained and aggressively pursued being paid by the advertising agency. But I didn't think of all that at the time. I just thought, let's make this job as quick and as smooth as possible. But as a rule, there was not a lot of racism involved in what I did. There were art directors who felt that because I was black, that everybody I would draw or paint would have to look black. To him, somehow, I could only draw people who were black, that I had no sensitivity. Of course, I remember also taking the liberty on a major account that I could approach in an editorial way of drawing the white people white. That is, I didn't put his color. But I had been at that time used to drawing black people, and black people were never offended no matter what color I painted them. If I painted them green, purple, blue, yellow, it didn't make any difference to them. We just accept that. But in the white community, you couldn't do that. White people did not want to be left white. They wanted to see some pink in there. They wanted to see some beige in there. They were absolutely offensive. And of course, some of them thought I was being funny. You know, you're being funny, you're leaving this guy white. Well, it's a drawing. I'm not attempting to depict an actual living human being. I'm talking about an idea, and the people who performed in this way were white. And they were not thinking. I think the storyline that I was illustrating dealt with people who were the signers of the American Declaration of Independence. It might have been a little facetious on my part. But we all take artists' license. You know, that was the way I was. And I suppose that some people could live with it, some people couldn't. I think as the years passed, I became more aggressive and more inclined to initiate a personal point of view in the work that I did. Some liked it, some didn't. But now that reminds me that they weren't all whites that were doing that. I remember getting a cover requested of me from an organization. I believe it was the Urban League many years ago, and they were doing a fundraiser downtown, and they needed a cover, and they liked my art, and they invited me in. And I went in to do the cover, and I donated the cover. But I like the Urban League. I'm very sympathetic. And I know you want good work, so I'm going to give you a good job. You don't have to pay me. It's free. So I go back. So I asked them what did they have in mind for the cover. They said something like, well, we need to see a little girl who is very attractive and moving on the cover, something like that. It's, you know, you do something you like, you know. So that was fine. I'm going to have fun on the job. You know, usually the things I was drawing at that time were white. I hardly ever had a chance to do something for black. So I'm really glad to give it for free. Just give me an opportunity to do something that reflects my feelings for the community. Well, what I did was a little black girl with large eyes, who may have been 10 years old, 12 years old. She's very dark, very pretty. Didn't have her hair pressed at all. And she combed it straight back in the character of the time. I had seen girls, I grew up with girls like that in Chicago. And this they suffered from lack of affection and understanding and warmth. And they worked very hard. This little girl had an oversized apron on. And I think in the illustration she was carrying a bouquet of flowers. And I thought it was really very nice. I thought it was one of the best things I had ever done. And actually, looking back, it's more in line with the kind of drawing that I do today for the expression all occasion cards. It was a tightly rendered pen and ink drawing of the black tie. Well, I took it in to the guy who ordered the job, and he took a look at it, and he didn't like it. He was very offended. But that, they're not going to buy that. I'm trying to get people to donate money to our cause. What kind of drawing are you showing me? He said, I don't want anything like this. They're not going to donate to that. I said, well, what did you have in mind? He says, well, show me a girl with sandy hair and Shirley Temple curls who's really very cute and she's light. But I don't want anything like this. And of course, I was offended by that. I was offended by his position. And I was offended that he was neglecting a large segment of the community. And of course, I refused to do that. I was going to donate something. I was not going to play those kinds of games. I wanted to be honest and candid and appeal towards something that I thought needed to be addressed. And that was children who were not loved sufficiently. But that guy rejected that drawing, and he and I never worked again, and they never recalled me again. That was the end of that. Now, I think, in all fairness, times have changed. It's very likely that kind of thing could not come out of anybody at the Urban League's office. But remember, this was a long time ago, and this is the way some people thought at that time. And they were very particular about that. Another more recent example of that kind of thing, also when I was being hired by a black businessman, they wanted me to do the cover illustration featuring Jesse Jackson. But this is when Jesse was running for office in 1984, I believe, the first time he ran for office. And this particular black businessman thought that was absolutely ludicrous that Jesse Jackson would have the audacity. So he hired me. He called me up. I didn't know him. And he had a magazine that came out monthly, slick, looked fine. And he asked me to do this cover. And he wanted me to burlesque Jesse Jackson. He said, it's just foolish. Why would a black man attempt to run for office like this? So we're going to do an editorial. And I'm going to put Jesse on the cover. And I'm going to circulate it at the Democratic National Convention that summer when they were preparing for the nomination. Well, of course, I took the job home, and I just proceeded to do what he said. And I did a picture of Jesse Jackson looking as though he were not big enough for the job. The owner also had a girl in Chicago who was to write the editorial for the article on Jesse Jackson. Now, at that time, I wasn't that familiar with Jesse's candidacy. And I didn't know a great deal about him. What little I knew was favorable. I liked him. But, you know, I didn't see anything wrong with the way what he believed in. I had no idea. But at this point, I began to pay more attention. I began to listen to Jesse. And he began to come out and talk about issues. And I'm listening to him talk about the issues I was told. I liked Jesse and decided, despite the fact that I had finished the drawing, that I was not going to contribute to burlesquing him in front of the National Convention that year. So, of course, I simply did not turn the job in, and I sat and waited for the editor and the owner of the magazine to call me and ask, where is the job? I had never done anything like that before. But I had taken a job, an assignment. I sent it. I got a started in on time. When after a few days, he had not called, I called his office and I told him the problems that I faced. That I really thought that was a bit unfair for Leskin, for wanting to run for president. He said, well, it doesn't matter. The girl from Chicago, the writer, missed her deadline as well. And she hasn't come in. So there's not going to be an issue doing that. And I felt rather vindicated. I thought, well, it's somebody who, like myself, sat down suddenly and listened to Jesse and decided that they didn't want to pan him. So the article very quietly simply disappeared and it never came out. But the in the illustration, you come up with a lot of assignments. Some are assignments that you like and you support, some are not. I think in my case, most of them were not the kinds of things that I would like. Probably the reason now I'm in my own business doing my own thing. But they don't always come from the wife. If you're going to go into commercial art, or if you're selling your art, you become in effect a kind of a prostitute. I suppose you have no right to complain about the kinds of things they ask you to do. I do complain, I don't like it, and I don't feel I have to do it. It may mean I'm not going to make the money I would make if I went along with that. But that's the way it was, and I did what I do. I try to stay in touch with what I think is important. I try to work only in those areas where my values are being supported by the artwork I do. I was offered in a similar vein, work for a very popular magazine to draw what I considered smut, just garbage. And they offered to pay me any amount of money that I reasonably wanted. And I could give an alias. I don't have to use my name. Draw in a different style. But they liked the kind of work I did, and they wanted me to come work. And in this case, I said okay at first, because you know, money was hard to get, being black out there. But they sent me the script. I read the script. The script was god-awful, just saying the worst things about people. I could throw up for the kind of information that was going on in the script that they sent me. So, of course, I rejected it. I said, I don't want to do that. I was for love or money, I wouldn't do it. Take your job back. Find somebody else to do it. And, of course, they were upset, but they waited a few months. And they came back again and asked me again, had I reconsidered? Has changes been made? And they really wanted me to come with them. So I asked for a script again, and they sent me another script. It was worse than the first script. And of course, I sent it back. And they said, we're never going to ask you again. We're never going to give you the opportunity. Keep your opportunity. How do I do stuff like that? You know. Now, needless to say, it wasn't long after that jobs were lean, and I'd be out walking the streets with my little portfolio, talking to all kinds of people. But I can't deal with drawing something I don't even believe in. So I paid some dues. I drew what I enjoyed drawing. I drew what I could make peace with. But once I found it offensive, I really just prefer not to be bothered with it, let somebody else do it. I don't want any part of it. That's the end of that.
With